Hello and welcome. It's our bonus Q&A episode for Books of the Year, and Adele Parks has come in a second time. I mean, obviously, we record these entirely separately.
Yeah, we do. 1 week apart. Yeah.
But she didn't begrudge us. She just thought, no, I'm going to imagine this is the pig in the middle of London.
Exactly.
Adele Parks and her brand new book, which you can hear us talk about on our companion podcast, is just between us. But we're not talking about that just now. We have other broader questions for you, Adele. And the key question right at the very beginning, as ever, is what is the last book that you really, really enjoyed reading?
Okay, so I literally finished a book yesterday, and it was by Abigail Dean, who originally, her first book, her debut book was Girl A.
Oh, wow, I love that book.
There we go, so okay. Did I. And so her second book is called Day One. And it isn't out yet. It's not out till January, but I've got a proof. And I was so nervous about reading it because I loved Girl A so much. But it's fine. You can read it because you're going to love this one just as much. It's actually, again, very Abigail. She tackles incredibly tragic subjects, but does it with such beauty and a real deft hand that you find you can go there. This is about a school killing. In a primary school in the UK. So it is shocking, but she does it so it's not gratuitous and it's about the aftermath and beautifully structured. She's so skilled. You wouldn't think it was her second book. You'd think it was her, like, 10th book or something. Excellent.
See, that sounds like a work of genius. If you can approach a topic that's that grim, which a lot of people go, I don't want to go, you know, like the news is grim. I don't want to have more of that in a book. In fact, we tackled a book a couple of episodes ago by American writer S.A. Cosby, which is exactly, also has that as the opening premise. But you have to be particularly skilled to make us want to go there and to follow the story.
Yeah. She actually moves on from the killing very quickly, and she talks about the grieving community. And even then it's about conspiracy theorists not accepting it really happened, which is even more bizarre. Wow. I know. But I've never read a book like it, so it's great.
So Abigail came on to talk about
Girls. Did she?
Yeah.
She's lovely, isn't she?
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there a plot or a character that you wish you'd come up with, Adele?
That's a good question. Plot-wise, Jilly McAllister wrote a book, well, it was published last year, called Wrong Time, Wrong Place. And it's about sort of a crime that happens and then the mother keeps going back in time to try and solve that crime. And I actually am very glad she wrote it, because then I didn't know what was going to happen and it was so well done and I loved it. So that's brill. But I did enjoy the fact she took herself out of the genre by playing with time, because that's almost sci-fi, really. Mm. It's not just a thriller then, is it? It's sci-fi. And I remember reading Time Traveler's Wife and thinking that and thinking, gosh, how brave and experimental to just go there. And I've never done that yet. So I've written in romantic comedy, I've written historical, I've written thrillers, but I haven't yet done a concept book where I've just played with something, taken either the afterlife or time travel or anything like that. And I think I'd quite like to play with that one time.
But you told us in the last podcast that you're writing the next book. You've already got the book after that knocking on the door. So we're now talking, this is now just for your publisher. Yeah. We're now
26.
Talking 26.
Yeah, we are.
Imagine,
I have got a contract till 26. So they're going
that organised.
Wow.
Do you have a favourite place or room or piece of furniture where you love to read? Let's leave the pig at Coombe or any other pig hotels to one side. They've had enough of a plug. Is there a room or a place or a piece of furniture where you love to read?
Yeah, I love reading in my own home. I mean, I'll read anywhere, but I love reading in my own home. And we have a lot of places, like chairs set, where I know the sun, if we get it, is going to come through. And I'm like little cat. I need to move around where the sun is. So I'm very happy with different pieces of furniture, but I like being in my own home and I like the sun coming through the window. I like feeling that warmth on my skin. So the best one really is in the front room, front of the TV, but with the TV off. And it's a very, very long blue sofa, and it's so long that I can lie on it and have my feet up, and my husband can lie the other end and his feet up, and we still don't have to touch, which sounds awful. But yeah, it's actually lovely.
It sounds like the longest sofa in the history of sofas.
I was going to say, our sofa is like that, and it took a night. It was a nightmare getting him in the house.
Exactly.
Almost gave up. Yeah. Almost gave up. Almost, yeah. Just leave it in the hall. We'll never get in the front
I've
room.
I've got a radical idea for both of you. Two sofas.
Yeah.
A sofa each, his and hers.
But occasionally, I do like to nudge his foot and know he's there. But, you know, most of the time,
that would
I'm
be really
asleep.
Annoying. Imagine. You're reading a book and there's someone just touching your toes. Get off.
Nudging you. If you were to go back to university, Adele, what is it that you would study? Given a sort of open choice of anything you wanted, what would you go for instead?
Okay, so I did do English, which I fought quite hard to do English because my parents didn't they didn't really object, but they didn't really see the point of it.
Mm.
Ha! I showed them.
Yeah.
But now if I went back, I would go and study something more vocational, I think. I would like to do something like, I don't know, a film course, a production course, so that I could come out and have a job.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as it happens, I did get a job out of my English degree, but I don't know if I would make that.
What were you doing with your English degree when you came out?
Oh, originally I went and did TEFL teaching in Italy.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I came back and worked in advertising, and then I became a novelist.
We like to surprise our guests with a question from a fellow author. You're looking at my sheet, so you can see.
I can't see that distance, so okay. We're fine. Right. No glasses on.
So we have a voice note here from someone who you know. Here we go.
Hi, Simon. Hi, Matt. And hello, lovely Adele. I'm sitting here at the airport thinking about the three of you, especially thinking of you, Adele, because you know I love you. So here's my question. How do you keep coming up with the brilliant characters and the brilliant stories? What is going on inside that fabulous mind of yours? Big kisses.
So normally I say, and here's Gabby Roslin. And then the thing comes in, it says, hi, it's Gabby Roslin. I'm thinking, okay, I sound stupid. So this time I didn't say that.
And she true didn't. Enough, yeah.
So that was Gabby Roslin, but you might have known that anyway.
I did.
And what is your answer to Gabby?
Well, it's very kind of her to think of brilliant ideas and brilliant characters. I don't know. I don't understand how people can write music, the people that can. You know, I don't understand that process. I just think they're phenomenal, and there's something in their brains that allows that to happen. Or people who paint, or people who are engineers, or people who solve maths problems. We've all got different brains that do different things. Mine makes up stuff. My brain has always made up stuff. I've never looked at something and thought it was just what it is. So even when I look at, you know, three microphones several times today, I've thought what else they could be, and that they could be people, and what people would they be, and you know, what's the relationship between them? And I used to...
Sorry, you looked at our microphones and wondered if they were people.
Well, I didn't. I obviously know they're not people because that would make me mad. Yeah. But when I was like, yeah, kind of, I looked at them and I thought, I wonder what sort of personality, if that was a person, it would have. And that's just how my mind works. I look at inanimate objects all the time and think, you know, if I was to personify it, how would it be? And that is just how my, you think that's nuts. And that is just how my mind works. I remember thinking Christmas tree dressing was brilliant because I would get these ornaments out and they all had stories and drove my parents mad because it took forever to dress that tree. Because each one I got out, I was like, oh, well, this year what they've been doing. And my mum's just like, get it on the tree, just put it on the tree. Don't care, put it on the tree. I just make up stories and always have, probably always will.
Okay, Gabby.
It's just a talent, is what we're saying.
Gabby Roslin, there's your answer.
Yeah.
It's a really random answer. Sorry, Gabby, I'll try and come up with something better.
So, Adele, do you have a favourite author? And as a supplementary, have you ever met that favourite author?
Oh, oddly, yes.
Uh-huh.
On Friday. And I'd never met her before. So Kate Atkinson.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never met her before. And I normally say, oh, I really struggle to have a favourite author because I have lots of friends who are authors. So I like them because of my friends, and I like them because of their work and all sorts of reasons. But I had never met Kate, and I normally met, you know, I do lots of festivals. You normally bump into lots of authors. I remember her first book, Behind the Scenes of the Museum, and I wasn't published and she got published. I think it was about 95, maybe 96. And I remember so falling in love with that book. She's a Yorkshire girl, so am I. And I've followed her career. She's amazing. She, you know, she writes literary books. She writes genre books. She wouldn't even class them as genre books. She just writes what she likes. She's very, very talented. And then I met her at Capital Crime Book Festival on Friday. And she was delightful. I was a bit worried. You know how to say, don't meet your heroes. So I was a bit nervous. But anyway, she said good things and I liked her.
On a previous episode of this podcast, we had your pal and fellow author Lisa Jewell on, and you sent in a question asking what her favourite karaoke song was, which was suitably left field. Now, obviously, we have to follow that out. It's another, I mean, we know what your musical taste is and how strangely personal it is. What is your, do you have a go-to karaoke song, and why did you ask that of Lisa Jewell anyway?
I do have a go-to karaoke song, and it is really embarrassing, but I will tell you anyway, and it is Hey Big Spender by Shirley Bassey.
There you go.
100%. I've been singing that since I was 5 years old, and badly, but it hasn't stopped me. And I asked Lisa, because we have done karaoke together, and I might have been a little bit merry and can't remember what she sang, and I just afterwards thought, I wonder what she did sing. And when you asked me to do that, I thought, oh, here's my moment to find out.
It's a very raunchy song to be singing from an early age. Hey,
oh, I know.
Spend a little time with me.
But I suppose when you're a kid, you don't know, do you?
No.
You just don't know. You just learn the words the way you learn a nursery rhyme. I mean, if you think of nursery rhymes, they're absolutely vile anyway, aren't they? You know, like something comes along and pecks off your nose. But you don't care.
I remember getting an email or a text or something from my sister when her kids were younger. And at Radio 1, we were playing Getting Jiggy With It. And she said, I am having so many questions from my kids. Also, she's a teacher. So, you know.
Yeah, and you just don't think, no, apparently when I was...
What's that then? What's Getting Jiggy With
It? Exactly. When I was a little girl, apparently, I saw Shirley Bassey on television on a Saturday night, and I was just entranced by her and her dresses. And I remember asking my parents if she got more than 10p pocket money and how long it takes to save up for a dress like that, which amused them.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if you're doing karaoke, you have to be merry. I tend
yes,
to find
I agree.
No way I'm getting up there.
I can't sing. I mean, I know my talents, and that's not one of them.
Obviously, Adele, you're known for your fiction and a voracious reader of fiction books. As you say, more than 1,000 you'd read before your first book. What about non-fiction? Do you read it? Or is it just for... Often when we have fiction authors on, they say, yeah, I do read non-fiction, but it's only for research.
Yeah, I was thinking,
do you read any for non-research purposes?
No, not really. If I'm honest, I do read for research, and then I suppose my non-fiction after that's more likely to be articles, so you know, article length, so something, you know, newspapers. Really, I don't settle into full books, although I am about to start reading a book on accents and what that means, because I always find that fascinating. And somebody said they'd written this book, and I thought, I want to read that.
What is that book?
I knew you'd ask me that. I can't remember. I will find out and send you a message and tell you what it is.
But it's a book about
accents.
But it's
a book about accents and about class and about why we judge people with certain accents. And I've always found that fascinating ever since I read the play Pygmalion by George Bernard Shaw, who was, you know, in Victorian days saying this one phrase always stays with me, this ancient class distinction should be antique. And they actually used that in the song for My Fair Lady when they made it into a musical. And it's absolutely true. When we talk about levelling up, the way we could level up is if we all spoke in a similar way, or we didn't judge people if they speak in a different way.
Is there a book or series of books that you always like to give as a gift?
No, because I do love giving books as gifts, but I don't believe in a one-size-fits-all. And I don't want to push that view. So I think very carefully about the person I'm giving it to and think what might appeal to them. Because I think there is a bit of a problem that when people say they don't like reading, it's usually because a book has been foisted upon them, that they didn't work with them, didn't chime. And then after that, they just assume they're not going to like any book. So I would never push my tastes on someone else. I think it would be much more of a gift if I thought about what might work for them. So no, I don't have one particular one that I push on.
So does that mean you would give a book as a gift that you didn't particularly like?
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah. Because I know if I was buying for, say, my dad, I would definitely think, right, he'll want a sports biog. that's what he'll want. You know, that's what he'll read. And he might read some, if he's going to read fiction, it would be a crime fiction with, let me be honest, a male detective narrating. And that's where we'd go. And I know he'd be happy with that. And sometimes I might spring something on a somebody who reads a lot. I might spring something and go, this will just push you. This might be a bit different. You might like it, you might not. But on the whole, I don't think it's much of a gift to foist my opinion.
So libraries feature in Just Between Us, as discussed before, and we're big champions of libraries on this podcast. When was the last time you found yourself in a library?
Wednesday.
Ah.
That was good, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, very yeah. impressive.
Yeah, so because I'm a big supporter of libraries as well, I work with the National Literacy Trust and the Reading Agency, both UK charities that are very supportive of various literacy programmes and our libraries. It's important that we go to our libraries because the closed, people say, oh, you know, it's terrible, libraries are closing down. Well, they're closing down because there's not enough footfall. Mm. So go to your library and visit it because it probably isn't still the library of your childhood that you think it is. Nobody is going to shush you anymore. Kids are welcome. There is the internet. They might help you with printing something. And there's loads of books. So, yeah.
Finally, you're throwing a fantasy literary dinner party, Adele, and you can invite three authors, living or dead. Who's coming?
Well, I would go dead because if it's fantasy, I'd go dead. Because obviously, if they're living, I probably could put a dinner party together anyway. So.
And that would be embarrassing for the authors that who aren't invited, who know you.
They'd all go, right, well, cheers, Parks. So dead authors, I think. I mean, I'd have to have Jane Austen. I just would. It's just, she's there with her little biting wit and probably turning her nose up at all of us really secretly, but yeah, she'd be great. I'd have Charles Dickens there as well. I'm going really mainstream because I think Charles Dickens, we're talking dinner party where we want the conversation to flow. He's going to keep talking, isn't he? And then I think I'd have somebody moody and Russian. Yeah, you'd go Tolstoy because he would have that sort of, you know, throw your toys out the cot moment, be a bit moody, be a bit aggressive, but spark up the evening. I think this could be brilliant.
Okay, well, there's a movie in there somewhere, I think. Adele, thank you very much for coming back and talking to us. Just Between Us is the new book published by HarperCollins. It's out now. You can hear her discuss that book in detail in our other podcast if you haven't got to it already. We'll be back next week. I hope you can join us then. Adele will be with us in about a year.
I guess.
Maybe.
I hope so. Yeah. I love coming in.
Excellent. Adele, thank you very much.
Thank you.